This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, you need to pay attention.
When I lived out in Colorado, I had a tree outside my bedroom window. Now, that tree was not there when I moved in. You know where that tree came from? When I would be out in the backyard mowing the lawn, I would notice that there was this weed growing up next to the house. And I don't know why it was, but, you know, I just didn't pay any attention to that weed that was growing. And then one day I was in my bedroom and I looked out the window and I realized that my view out my bedroom window was being obstructed. And I went out into the backyard and lo and behold, you know what I found out there? Not a weed. It was a tree. I mean, I don't know how long it was. It must have been months. But all of that time, that little weed, which in the beginning I could have just taken the lawnmower and gone over it and that would have been the end of it. But by the time I paid attention to it, it was going to be a major operation to get rid of that tree. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about that is that many of us have some issues going on in our lives right now that are like that weed. They're little things that are growing up in our lives, little things that are happening in our lives, things that we really don't want to grow to fruition. You see, I didn't want a tree outside my bedroom window. That was not my plan. You know how that tree got there? Because I wasn't paying attention. And I wonder how many things are there going on in our lives today? Things that when they're full grown will have consequences that we don't want in our lives, and yet they are continuing to grow because we simply are not paying attention to them. We want to look at the story of a man that God had to teach how to pay attention to what was growing up in his life. The man's name is Balaam, and his story is given in Numbers chapter 22. Balaam was a sorcerer, a wizard. If he had lived today, he'd have one of these programs on cable TV where you can dial 1-900 and they'll tell you all about your life. That's what he did for a living, and he was good at it. It tells us in the scripture that when he got ready to travel, he carried two servants with him. How many of you travel with two servants? I don't mean your husband or your wife. I mean paid servants. No, the man was good at what he did. He made a good living from it. In fact, he was so good that when the king of Moab was in trouble, he said, I've got to send somebody to get Balaam. What had happened was this. God had just brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And they were going into the promised land. And as God had promised them, every place they set the sole of their feet, God said, I'll give that to you. And so every place they went, whenever they came up against the people of the land, came up against those enemies, they defeated them by the power of God. And the king of Moab looked and said, the Israelites are coming. We can't fight them. What am I going to do against that great mass of people that seem to have the power of God behind them? We need some supernatural intervention. So he said, look, here's what we're going to do. This guy Balaam, he has a great track record. Every time he curses something, it dies. So we're going to send and get Balaam and have him curse the Israelites for us so that when we go into battle against them, we'll wipe them out. And so he sent a delegation to Balaam. And look in Numbers chapter 22, look at verse 12. They came to Balaam, told him what the situation was. We want you to come and curse Israel so we can defeat them or else they're going to wipe us out. Balaam had enough sense to say, well, look, I need a night to think about this. I'll consult with God, and I'll get back with you in the morning, tell you what God says. Look at what God said. Numbers 22, verse 12. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam did what he was told. He went back to the delegation, said, I'm sorry, I can't go with you. God told me not to go. So far, he's doing okay. Amen. So they went back to the king. The king said, look, we've got to have this man. If the mayor and the city council can't do it, let's go up a notch. So let's send the governor and the two state senators from his state. That'll get him. You know, I'm kind of modernizing the story here. And so they sent these people to Balaam. Now, catch this. Balaam had already talked to God, right? God had already said, here are your instructions. Don't go. Don't curse. End of story. So when they came to Balaam, guess what Balaam said? Well, why don't you wait overnight and I'll go back and talk to God again, see what he says. Parents, have any of you ever had one of your kids come to you and say, Mom, Dad, can I go here? Can I drive the car? Can I go over to my friends and spend the night? And you said, no. And the next thing you know, they're going over to your husband or your wife asking the same question, trying to get a different answer. Yeah. Amen? That's what Balaam did. God had already told him what the answer was. But when they came back to him, Balaam goes and says, well, let me consult with God again. What did he think God was going to do? Change his mind? Now, let me tell you something. God does not change his mind, but God does adjust to our decisions. God adjusts to our decisions. God's purpose was still and always, Balaam, do not go. You cannot curse these people. But Balaam went back to God and look down in verse 20 of Numbers 22. Look at what happened. Balaam went back to God and God told him something that sounded different this time. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that shall you do. So Balaam, hey, he was happy now. He got up and went with the men. But look at what happened next. He had gone back to God. God had said, you can go. And look what happened in verse 22. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey and his two servants were with him. Now, wait a minute. When I first saw this, I didn't understand. I mean, I was confused. First of all, God said, don't go. And then when he came back, God said, okay, you can go. And then when he went, God got mad at him. What's going on? There's a definition that fits what Balaam was all about. Go over to James chapter 4. Keep your finger in Numbers 22. But go over to James chapter 4, verse 17. Let's get a definition down that will help us to see what was happening and why God got angry at Balaam for doing what God gave him apparently permission to do. James chapter 4, verse 17. Let's get this definition so we can understand. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is, what's the word? Sin. To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, Balaam had gone to God and asked God what he could do, and God had said what? You must not go. You must not curse the people. End of story. Did Balaam know what God's will was? He sure did. Amen. And so when he came back trying to talk to God again about this same situation, already knowing that God had told him not to go, what was he saying? Well, look, I know what God said, but what God said is not really what I want to do. So let me see if I can change God's mind. Let me see if I can find some way to wiggle around this. Let me see if I can find some way. Let me see if I can find a loophole in what God had said so that I can still do what I want to do. Now, why was Balaam so intent on wanting to go when these people came to him. Look at verse 7. You begin to see what's really happening here. Verse 7 of Numbers 22. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him in the words, or spoke to him the words of Balak. Balak is the king. Now catch what's going on. I wonder if you caught this significant phrase here. This delegation came to Balaam, bringing him the words of the king. But they don't not only brought the words of the king, what else did they bring? The diviner's fee. Hallelujah. They came and said, Balaam, if you come do what the king wants you to do, you will be well compensated for your time. Balaam looked around the house and said, I could use a new TV. And so Balaam said, this sounds like a good job to me. Now, God, you forbade me to go in the first place, but can't we work this out? Can't we do something that will allow me to go and still get the fee that I want to get? Look at what the New Testament says about this man. Go over to Jude, chapter 1, verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. The error of Balaam. What was Balaam's error? He was out for profit. Go over to 2 Peter, chapter 2. Look at verses 15 and 16. Tells us a little bit more about this man, Balaam, about what his motives were. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. You see what Peter says? This man was so greedy for gain, he was mad in what he was trying to do. Trying to manipulate God. Isn't that mad? That's crazy. And you know what happens when you try to manipulate God? Many times, God will say, oh, you want to do it that way? Go ahead and do it that way. And take the consequences. And here's the thing I want you to really see about this. Numbers 22, verse 22. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. Stop right there. God's anger was aroused because he went. Here's the first thing that we need to learn from Balaam's experience. God is not tolerant of our sin. God is not tolerant of our sin. Sin makes God angry. Go over to Psalm chapter 7, verse 11. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Understand, God is not tolerant of sin. There is not one sin that God has ever overlooked. There is not the smallest, littlest thing that we have done that is not according to the will of God that God just kind of pats us on the back and says, it's okay, don't worry about it. No. Every sin that we ever have committed and ever will commit had to be paid for. Because God does not tolerate sin, and that's why that song that we sang is so important, the blood that Jesus shed for me. The only reason that we have any hope in God is because the blood of Jesus has wiped away the penalty for all of the sin that we've committed. God does not overlook it. The price had to be paid, and Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. And so Balaam came. He committed the sin of trying to manipulate God. God sent his angel, and God's anger was aroused because God does not tolerate sin. Now, understand, how many of you are bad sinners? Let's just see. I mean, you're just really bad. We don't have any bad sinners in here? Now, think about the opposite. How many good sinners do we have here? Okay, You're good sinners in the sense that you're good at what you do, right? Amen. Amen. Now see, we have this hierarchy, don't we? We think that there are little sins and big sins. We think that there are bad sins. Oh man, blow somebody away, bad sin. And then we think that there are just not so bad sins. Isn't that right? In God's eye, sin is sin. That's it. Sin is sin. Period. Somebody once asked a woman if she would sleep with him for $5. And she said, well, what do you think I am? Of course I won't do that. He said, well, what if I make it $5,000? Oh, well, let me think about it for a moment. Now, catch it. Does the amount make any difference? She asked, what do you think I am? If she would consider $5,000, what is she? You don't have to answer. We got kids in the house. Amen. But the point is this. It doesn't matter the amount. It's the principle of the thing. When we set our heart to do what we know is displeasing to God, we found out the definition of sin. When we know to do good and choose not to do it, it is sin. And to God, sin is sin. And he is angry at our sin. God is angry at our sin. What does that tell us? We have some weeds growing up in our lives. There's some things going on in your life today. If you are like me, some things going on in your life today that if you really sit down and pay attention, you would have to say, I understand this is something that is not pleasing to God. There's something that I do in my life on a habitual basis, the way I talk to people, habits that I have, things that I do that I know are not pleasing to God. But I just haven't really paid attention to it because it's such a little thing. Understand, God does not view it, whatever it is, as a little thing. Because he knows it's a weed. And if you leave weeds alone and don't pay attention to them and deal with them while they're small, eventually they grow up to trees and they block the windows of your life. So God does not tolerate our sin. Here's the second thing that we need to understand about God's anger. God's anger may not immediately be visible, but it's real. Let me just kind of read this whole passage. I'm going to read the whole passage starting in Numbers 22 through 27. And let's get a sense of how God's anger operated in the life of Balaam. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey. And his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. The thing that I want you to see is this. God was angry with Balaam because of his sin. God sent his angel, and the angel was there with a flaming sword ready to take Balaam's life. And Balaam couldn't see it. Balaam is on his way to do his thing in defiance of what he knew God's will to be, and he didn't see the consequences of his actions. God said, I'm not going to let you pass with it in your heart to go and curse Israel for profit. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There are consequences, Balaam, but Balaam was so intent on doing what he wanted to do, he couldn't see the consequences. Understand this. Those weeds that are growing up in our lives, we may not see the consequences of them yet. We look and things are still going pretty well. But understand, if there is sin in our life that we are ignoring, not paying attention to, God does not tolerate it because he knows that there are consequences on the way. They are coming. How many of you have gas heat in your house? Now see, I'm from down south. I'm from Tennessee. And in Tennessee, we have the Tennessee Valley Authority, which manufactures electricity from dams, from water. So we never used gas. And when I came up here to Pennsylvania, that was the first time that I ever had gas appliances in my house. So you know what terrifies me? The smell of gas. I could come in the house and I'd smell gas and man, is this place going to blow up? I had no experience with gas. Now, I'm no longer terrified of gas, but I got this much sense. If you're lying in bed one night and you wake up and you smell gas, how many of you are just going to turn over and go back to sleep and say, I'll take care of it in the morning? And some of you, you know, you might wake up in a different place in the morning, amen? Either up or down, if you don't deal with the gas. In other words, you're lying there in bed and see, you smell the gas, but there are no consequences yet. Isn't that right? There's no fire, there's no explosion, nothing going on. But you've got enough sense to know, if I smell gas, I had better get up, deal with this situation. Why? To avoid the consequences. To make sure the consequences don't happen. Well, see, that's what God wants to happen in our lives. God is letting us know there are consequences to sin. And you cannot just ignore the issues that are in our lives. You cannot just keep on going and not paying attention to them and expect there not to be any consequences. God is angered by our sin. But here's the second great thing we need to know. Even though God is angered by our sin, he still loves me. Isn't that great? God is angered by sin, but he still loves me, the sinner. Look at how far out of his way God went to keep Balaam from having to suffer the consequences of his own sin. I mean, think about it for a moment. God sent an angel, and he made it so that the donkey could see the angel. Isn't that something? And three times, that donkey refused to go forward where the angel was so that Balaam would start to get a hint. There's something going on here. Now, Balaam was thick-headed, bull-headed, hard-headed. That describe anybody here today? Amen. He was a hard-headed man. And all through this thing, God is giving him these signs. Balaam, there is something wrong. Balaam, you cannot go forward the way you want to go forward. Balaam, you need to pay attention to the weed growing up in your life. You see, God loved Balaam enough to go out of his way to try to save this man. God says, who curses my people, I will curse him. And so what was God doing? God was saying, Balaam, you are a pagan sorcerer wizard. You got your own 1-900 number, but I still love you. I still love you. I love you enough to go out of my way. In fact, Balaam, you're so hard-headed, maybe you'll get it if the donkey talks to you. Now catch this. Even when the donkey spoke, Balaam didn't get it. The man was so wrapped up in what he was trying to do that he didn't even realize, Balaam, have you noticed this is a donkey talking to you? Isn't that a little unusual? Isn't that a little odd? But he was so thick-headed, so hard-headed, so intent on what he wanted to do that he went right past the fact that this is a donkey. But just look at how far God went to get this man's attention so that he would not have to suffer the consequences of his sin. Understand this. All sin is ultimately against God and grieves Him. But God is not hurt by our sin. I mean, God is not looking down at us, and every time we sin, He's going, oh, ouch, ouch, woo, woo, stop doing that to me. God can take care of Himself. God is concerned about our sin, not because it hurts Him, but what? Because it hurts us. Because there are weeds that are growing up that will have consequences in our lives. God draws my attention to my weeds so that I can avoid the devastating consequences of sin in my life. Look at verse 22 again of Numbers 22. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. If God is against you, if God stands in your way, if God says, I'm not going to allow this to go on, I'm putting up the stop sign and I'm not going to allow you to go past this point. If God is for you, hallelujah. But if God is against you, what hope do you have? Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Jeremiah 44:11 says, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off all Judah. See, when God sets his face against you, it's going to be a catastrophe in your life. And so every decision that we face, we have to make a choice. If I make this choice, this decision, do what I have it in my heart to do, will God be for me or against me? How many of you know that God does not participate in sin? Amen? And so when I choose to sin, guess what? When I get ready to do my dirt, I leave God behind. God is not with me. And God says, look, I'm not just going to be neutral about this thing. While you are doing your dirt, I will actively oppose you. I will be your adversary. Why? Not because I don't like you. Not because I don't want you to succeed in life. It's because I do want you to succeed in life. I don't want you to have to suffer the consequences of your own sin. And therefore, I will act as an adversary. I will hinder you. I will get in your way. I will not allow you to succeed. I will cause pain. I will make it painful for you. Why? I'm going to discipline you. Get you back on track. And I don't know about you, but I am pain averse. Amen? That means I don't like it. And so I want to avoid God having to bring pain in my life. You know what that means? Well, get down on my knees and start digging up some weeds. Because I don't want God to have to allow me to suffer the consequences of sin.
This is Pastor Ron Franklin. How will you decide for whom to vote on November 6th? Are there biblical principles that ought to guide Christians in deciding how to cast their ballots? Well, the answer to that question is yes. And Pastor Tony Evans of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas has answered that question in a great series of videos called How Christians Should Vote. Well, we're going to be showing that video series here at Covenant Community Church on the three Fridays leading up to the election, October 19th, October 26th, and November 2nd, from 7 to 8 p.m. We'll be watching three different videos from that series, and I'd like to invite you to watch them with us. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. That's the corner of 18th and Berry Hill. And again, the video is from 7 to 8 p.m. on the three Fridays immediately preceding the election on November 6th. For more information about the video or Covenant Community Church, or for a CD of today's message, give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, and I'm looking forward to seeing you as we learn together how Christians should vote.